When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to another episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guest is known widely as the Body Coach. He's sold 2.7 million books in the UK alone. My friend Lucy says they're not only amazing recipes, that they're brilliant because you're also half naked in them, just putting it out there, but you're also a dad to little Indy, who's only 2.5 weeks at the point of recording this. It is Joe Wicks.
Thank you so much for that lovely introduction.
Thanks.
I'm really excited to be on your show. I was listening to it when the baby was in Rosie's tummy, so I've had some experience listening to it, and I think I didn't realise how much I'd want to talk about the baby, but I'm at that phase where I'm so excited I just want to share everything.
Well, this is the thing, because when I first found out that Rosie was pregnant and that you were going to be a dad, very late, but we'll talk about that, you know, you didn't announce it till Rosie was almost 30 weeks, I thought, ah, wouldn't he be a great guest to have on? And I thought, oh, but he's so private, and the fact that you kept it so late and you didn't say anything, and I just thought, I don't know if he'll say yes. So when you did, I was like, just get him in quickly before he changes his mind.
Yeah, no, I honestly thought that I was going to be a bit more private and wouldn't want to share things, but because she's such a massive part of my day now, like putting on stories a little bit, but I think the best place to talk about her is like on a podcast, because obviously there's no, you haven't got to show videos and images, but I'm so excited about everything. And I just, the whole process of the hypnobirthing and the NCT. So when I was learning something, I was like going home and telling my mates and saying, did you know this about the woman's body? Because it's like going to school, isn't it? It's like a science lesson.
Yeah, it is. Doing it a hypnobirthing way, it makes much more sense.
Yeah, I think it was the most powerful thing. I think people that have that fear of going into labour, I think Rosie was so prepared for it. She was so calm that I'm a massive advocate of doing that for the mindset and just changing your belief system on what it's going to be like. But Rosie was amazing. I was just thinking about it this morning in the shower. So she hypnobirthed at home and we went to the hospital and she was 7 centimetres dilated. And we didn't realise she was so far along, but she was just so controlled of her breathing and really got in the right zone for it. It was a wonderful experience. And I also didn't think I was going to watch, but I watched everything and I found it so fascinating. I just thought it was wonderful.
Well, I hate with a passion the old saying, it's like watching your favourite pub burn down. Just like, get over it. It's part of life.
I know, that's one of those things, isn't it? People get scared and say, oh, you shouldn't watch it. You're never going to look at the same again. But when I started seeing the baby's head come, I was just so excited. I said, come on, Rosie. It was like we were all motivating her. And because at that point, you know, it's quite a painful experience, but she was just pushing and pushing. And I was like, it's coming. And I just couldn't, but I burst into tears when she came out. We didn't know the sex and I was convinced it was going to be a boy. So I saw the umbilical cord and I was like, oh, it's got a really long willy, it's a boy. And then about 2 seconds, I was like, oh no, it's a girl, and just burst into tears. And I was like laughing at the same time because I couldn't believe it was a girl. But yeah, what an amazing experience. We had it at Kingston Hospital and the midwives were so good. We got there at 12 o'clock and the baby came out at 9 p.m. And the midwife, she could have left, but she stayed like an extra 2 hours. And I thought it was so nice of her to stay and see it all out.
Well, it must be that thing as well for them. It's quite a significant thing to be there for the birth of a baby. So when you've done all that work and put all that effort in, you don't want to leave.
Yeah, she was there right to the end. And I just thought it was so nice of her. So we popped back to visit her and say thank you and give her a little candle and some perfume. But
already? And you're 2.5 weeks in?
That's the thing. When I think back, like Rosie, the next day we had visitors. The day after that, we went into Richmond for lunch. Like Rosie's walking around and
really,
she recovered really quickly in her body. Now it's amazing. You wouldn't even tell she had a baby.
Really?
She just likes, obviously some women just quite lucky with their skin and the way she hasn't got any stretch marks and stuff. But we had a lot of visitors. Then I actually burnt out a little bit because you know you have this really like, you're so high, you're like adrenaline, you're buzzing. Then suddenly I was like, oh, we've had so many visitors. I need to just have a break now. And because I was doing loads of Instagram stories and putting out this content, I thought I need to just have some time off. So I turned my phone off for a couple of days and really connected with the baby and Rosie, and I just got her on the little carrier, so we did skin to skin walk around the house with her.
I love that. On your Instagram post, you are literally, it's like she's glued to you. You really are embracing it. It's like you really are completely and utterly besotted already.
You know, some people say there's that moment where you just like completely fall in love and it's this massive like lightning bolt, but it didn't happen like that. But every day now I go home and I see her and I wake up with her, like I'm loving her a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it's growing every day. And it's just amazing seeing her smile and just kind of interact. She's so cute. And I thought she was going to come out all squished because my little nephew Oscar was all like squished and he had a cone head and it was all bruised up. And she came out looking like a little angel and I just couldn't believe how lovely she looked.
Aww. That's so gorgeous. They say, I think one of my midwives said something like, the first time you meet your baby, they won't look like you think they will. It takes 24 hours for them to grow into what you think they're going to look like.
Eyes, they're all swollen, aren't they? And stuff. Yeah. Their eyes are a bit bulgy, but she's really cute. She's really alert as well now. So she's got beautiful like blue eyes, but I think they're changing. I don't think they stay blue forever, do they? Because me and Rosie have got brown eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Buzz had emerald green eyes for about 5.5 months. We were like, wow.
They went brown.
Yeah, literally overnight. Let's go back to the very, very beginning, though, in your childhood. What was your childhood like?
I've got really happy memories of being a kid. I was very energetic, probably hyperactive. I wasn't ever diagnosed with ADHD, but I must have been like borderline because I just remember climbing everything and running everywhere. And I just was so energetic, you know, a bit of a handful. I'm one of three boys. So there's Nikki, who's 34. I'm 33. And then there's George, who's 23. So there's three boys. I'm the middle one. My mum raised me the majority of the time. My dad always wasn't always there, but she'd done a great job. She was quite strict. Like, I really respected my mum. If she said, you got to be home at 9 o'clock, I was home at 9 o'clock, you know, because she was quite strict with the way she raised me. And I think she taught me how to be polite and respectful and understand, you know, rules. And I wasn't a tearaway completely. I was a bit of a class clown, but I still respected people and had a decent set of morals and stuff.
Yeah. Did you always want a family? Did you think about how you would raise that family? Looking back at your childhood, I always think, oh, I'd like to incorporate that in my childhood and make sure that the focus isn't on things and that it's the people around you and your imagination and things.
Yeah, without a doubt, I think my dad being absent definitely made me want to be a dad that's really present. Like, I want to be around and I want to be a strong figure to be there for her and let her know that she can rely on me and I'm always going to be there. So my dad was like in and out of kind of rehab and whatnot. So we had issues like that, but we're so close now, me and my dad. So it's not like I look back and I think I hold any grudges or resentment towards my childhood because I have really great memories and I love my dad for who he is today. It's just part of the journey, like who I am today and how I've become an adult is because of my mum and dad's experiences and how I was raised. But for me, I really want to have a strong family bond, you know, a strong unit, because my mum and dad never got married, but if they were married, they would have been divorced every single month. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, I want to be a strong family. I want to stick together and show Indy and Rosa that, you know, you can be a strong, happy family in love and you don't have to, like, break up and stuff when things get tough.
And you kept your relationship with Rosie quite secret.
Yeah, because I was in a relationship for a long time beforehand. And then when I started going out with Rosie, I just thought, share everything online.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to have something for you.
I wanted just to keep that private. Yeah, so I'm not like going to red carpet events. I'm not partying, hanging out with celebrities. Like, although I have success and I'm kind of in the media, I'm not really like that. So,
I wouldn't put you in that sort of category at all.
You know, I've got a very close group of friends and I sort of keep myself to myself. But I just thought, I don't want to share everything with Rosie. So when the decision came to have a baby, I said, you know, I'd love to have a baby and we would go through that. And then I thought, when am I going to announce? Because if like the papers or someone tells everyone, it's like looks like I've kept it secret and it looks a bit weird. So I thought, I'll wait till nearer the end, then I'll announce it.
Yeah.
And obviously, everything I put on Instagram ends up in the Daily Mail.
Yeah,
so I have to be conscious of what I write and what I put up because they're going to literally share that as news stories.
Yeah. Well, and take it apart and read more into things. And so you've got to think of every single word that you put in there.
Yeah, but, you know, they've been quite nice. No one's said anything negative or anything, but it's just like, I'm not going to be completely like family goals and posting pictures every week. But every now and again, I'll just share a little bit on my story and let people know that she's doing well.
And I think that's nice. The decision to have a baby, was there a part of you that would like to have had a baby by a certain point in your life?
I always thought I was going to be a young dad. Yeah. So my mum was 17 when she had my brother Nicky and 19 when she had me. So she was like super young. And I thought, I'm going to be a young dad as well. But I never kind of got to that point. But then when I really fell in love with Rosie, I had this complete urge to like want to have a baby. But it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
She was away on a trip and she came back. And I said, look, I've been really thinking, I really want to make a baby. Can we try? And that was it. She was obviously like really up for it and really happy about it. And then she fell pregnant really quick within a month. Because you always think it's going to take a year.
Yep, you never know.
She's been on the pill 10, 15 years. Like she's going to take a while. She fell pregnant really quick. And unfortunately, that baby was a miscarriage. So didn't quite progress. And then only 2 months later, she fell pregnant again. And then Indy was born.
We had a miscarriage first time. And I don't think that's talked about enough, really. I think it's one of those things that when it happens, everyone's like, oh, 1 in 5 or whatever statistic it is now. And it's kind of like, oh, well, at least you can get pregnant, or, you know, your body can do it. And I don't think we talk about it enough. I especially don't think that men talk about it enough, because obviously it is a physical thing for a woman to go through and is heartbreaking. But there's also the other element of the dad side that is never talked about.
It is really common. And, you know, some women can have miscarriage and not even know they're pregnant. Rosie tested really, really early on. She found that she's pregnant. But I suppose she's a really strong character. And we talked about it and, you know, said, you know, this has happened, but let's move forward and stay positive. We didn't dwell on it too much. Yeah. And so I can't say it really affected me on a massive emotional level, because I was just so excited about the fact that she got pregnant and we're all good and she can get pregnant again.
Yeah.
I'm not one to really look back in the past and sort of sit in that mindset.
I always say that if it hadn't have happened to me, then I wouldn't have Buzz.
Yeah.
So for me, Buzz will always be my silver lining, because there's no way that I could have had him if the first pregnancy had gone full term.
Yeah, isn't it amazing when you think, like, that one moment of intimacy created that one baby at that one moment in time, and if it wasn't that time, like, Indy wouldn't have been Indy, it could have been a boy or a girl. And so it is amazing to think that this all happened for a reason.
Yeah.
We just kept positive, you know, we kept having, I was going to say we kept having sex then, we kept...
Well, you did that as well.
Got back in the saddle and we...
My dad said that to me. My dad said, right, after I went through a miscarriage, sometimes you just got to get back on that horse. I was like, thanks, Dad.
Quite literally, yeah. And that was it. So we don't think about it too much. I think, you know, we're so proud and excited that we got Indy now. We don't think about the past too much.
No, of course. And that's so important. It seems like you two have really talked about it.
She's so calm. What I've realised as well about Rosie is that she's so calm. She hypnobirthed. The baby came out super calm. And I really believe in that. The energy we give out, like when she was pregnant, and just our vibes, you know, like being calm and relaxed, affects the baby's personality when it comes out of the womb. It's been listening and understanding what this environment's going to be like. And she's the most chilled baby. And I think it's because of the hypnobirthing, for sure.
How did you react when you found out that Rosie was pregnant?
Came home and she'd done a pregnancy test, and I was just so, so happy. I sort of said, you're joking, I couldn't believe it, because it happened so quick, you know, a month into trying. And we were just really, really happy. And then we went to America and had a little holiday. And then my brother, Nicky, actually, his girlfriend, Louisa, also fell pregnant 5 days apart. So she had a baby a few days before ours. So there's two babies, there's Milo and Indy, and they look like twins because they're so close together.
That's so lovely. And that cousin bond, I know brothers and sisters, there's a bond there that is unbreakable, but there's something about seeing your family member that you're close to, their kids playing with your kids.
Yeah.
As they grow up, it just gets better and better.
Yeah, me and Nicky are really close, so it's going to be great to see them, because we have holidays together, to see them grow up together.
So pregnancy-wise, how was the pregnancy for you? Was it weird seeing Rosie's body change? Was it... How involved did you get? Because obviously the hypnobirthing, that is something that you do all the whole way through, really.
I feel like I'm just the most optimistic, like, positive person. If you talk about anything with this birth, because she didn't have morning sickness, she was completely normal.
Yeah.
Like, we had holidays together, we just did everything the same, nothing changed. And even now, I feel like life hasn't really changed, apart from we've got this other person with us. It's just the same, it's beautiful. And what I love the most is when I used to oil Rosie's belly every night and feel it get bigger and bigger. Yeah. And then when I spooned her, she'd lift her belly up and I'd just tuck my hand under it, because it would always roll. So I just remember thinking, oh, I don't want the bump to go. But obviously now the baby's here, like, I don't miss the bump as much. But I really, really loved the whole thing. And like I said, I went to the NCT 6 weeks before the baby came.
Yeah.
And I was just learning about the uterus and the cervix and, you know, the meconium and all the, you know, the colostrum harvesting. Is like fascinating, because I love the human body.
Yeah.
Because I did anatomy and physiology at school, but you don't learn about all this stuff.
No.
You don't learn about the woman's body, so...
But I guess especially doing what you do now, seeing that the actual body does so much stuff as well, and how important that is.
It's incredible. Like, women's bodies, the design and the way it can do all this stuff during labour, and the hormone, like, relaxing, that relaxes all the muscles, mm-hmm. and all these things that are only in a female body. So it's like, it's so unique and specific to that task of giving birth. And I was just so proud of her, because it's a long experience. It's not like it happened straight away. And the pushing phase was like 2 hours long. So she was exhausted. And I remember she was like, I can't do it, it's going to take ages. And me and the midwives were sort of cheering her on, like almost like telling her to just do, you know, one more rep. It's like we're all egging her on. And then I watched the baby come out and I just couldn't believe it. I was just so amazed. And then one more push and it just came out, the whole thing.
It's a funny moment, isn't it, where the head's out, just the head.
Yeah, the head like tilted to the side.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. And Rosie's mum was there as well. So Rosie's mum and I was there, and we sort of took turns. And some people say, like, your woman doesn't want to be touched, but I actually was just tickling her back and stroking
her.
Well,
I think it's all about seeing what they want in that moment. We did hypnobirthing, it was all the light touch thing, but at certain moments I was like, enough.
Yeah, you get in the water, the bath.
Which was lovely, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, but Rosie was in there, but she couldn't give birth, and then she just couldn't feel the urge to push, so she did it on the bed instead.
Ah, well, first time around, they actually got me to come out, but second time around, everything happened so quickly and was in the water.
Oh, really?
Flew
in and out.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, there we go. Second time around.
I already want another baby. Like, I already feel like she's grown so quick, and I want that feeling again of like going through pregnancy and the labour and having another baby to hold. So I said to Rosie, I want to have 4 kids, and she's well up for it. So she's not been deterred. She wants to have more.
That's amazing. I love it.
Because I want them close together. I want to be like me and my brother, where we're really close.
Yeah.
And we've got that close bond. So I think we could wait another 2 or 3 years, because I know it's going to be harder with 2 or 3 kids. It's going to be much harder, but I'm ready for it. Like, I want to have them close together. I want to have a family that's kind of not too far apart. And so bring it on, I say. Let's do it.
And how are you finding the juggle with work and everything? Because right now you're taking it easy. You've given us the pleasure of your time today, but I know you are sort of, you're enjoying that time at home. But when it comes to work and being able to juggle family life, have you thought of how you're going to move forward with that?
Well, the one thing I'm really conscious about with my content is, like, obviously I'm in a fortunate position where a work day for me is like cooking a Lean in 15 recipe,
yeah,
doing a YouTube workout in my garden, doing some social media content. So I'm lucky I don't have to leave the house and, yeah, be out all day. And I've got friends that are really amazing dads, and they have to leave the house at 7 a.m. and come back at 7 p.m. And mm-hmm, that must be hard, because the mum's obviously got to do quite a lot on her own. And I'm very grateful that I've built a life where, yeah, my work is basically social media, and I, yeah, can be anywhere. So I can be in America with Rosie, or I can be in Richmond, just pop into the office and filming and going home. So, yeah, I have to remember that not everyone's in that position. But I'm not like someone who does loads of book tours or filming abroad.
Yeah.
And even if I did, I could take my baby and Rosie with me. So, yeah, I want to just share my experience here and try and give people some tips and advice along the way. But I think it's so, everyone's so unique with their child,
yeah,
and you have to be very careful that you're not sounding too preachy.
Exactly.
Because I think everyone's got an opinion, and,
yeah,
some people obviously believe that their way is the right way, but I'm only kind of talking about my experience.
And that's all you can do. I always feel like anytime I share something, I have to be, but I know that's not right for everyone. It's like hypnobirthing.
Yeah.
I found it the most amazing experience ever, but I also am very conscious that for some people, that's just not what they want to do. And you kind of have to say, that's fine. Like, you, I think parenting is an area that people feel judged, but actually most of that judgment comes from ourselves.
I said that when I did a story saying, look, because everything I'm saying is coming from a place of love. I'm not trying to say that this is how every man should be, and this is, but I was just saying what I was doing, and some people obviously take offence to it. So I'm quite cautious of how I share stuff. And
have you been surprised?
Yeah, because everyone kind of, if you're saying, oh, the baby didn't latch the first couple of days, and everyone's telling you what they should do and this and that, yeah, but it was just the first couple of days, like, she's fine now.
Yeah.
I think people just have a lot of emotional connection to their kids and what worked for them, so they want to tell you what worked for their kid.
Yeah.
But again, it's always people being quite loving and wanting to share their tips and stuff.
Can get overwhelming, though.
Well, it's full on, isn't it? Because, like, Instagrams with DMs and stuff, I really engage my audience. I love to say thank you for the messages. And the more times I say thank you to the messages, the more they come. So I've had the most engagement ever on my social media the last couple of weeks, like people sending messages and stuff. So it is quite tough keeping on top of it all.
Well, I guess also because for a lot of people, you've really helped them in terms of how they feel about themselves and getting them lean in 15 and changing the way that they sort of view so many things. So this is the first time really they're getting to see a side of you that they haven't before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And they already sort of have a feeling towards you, but this is a whole other area that's personal.
Yeah, it's completely different. I wasn't sure how people were going to react. Like, were they going to say, oh, just stick to your fitness and food, we don't want to hear about your baby life and stuff. But most people seem to really like what I've been sharing.
Yeah.
And I'm not like posting pictures every other day, but every now and again I'll put on my story. And
do you want to, though?
I feel like, yeah, like, I get a nice photo, like the one on my watch, and I feel, oh, I'd love to share that. But
you sent one to me last night. I was like, oh, Jay.
I know, that was a private one. But it's just like, yeah, you want to... I want to be present and engaged with the baby, but you also want to take photos and you want to document everything.
Yeah.
So we've started a little Instagram, a private account for Indy, where we're sharing all the photos and videos to her. So when she's older, she can look back and watch it and stuff.
Oh, that's lovely.
So that she can kind of document her life and from first arriving, first time she got in her buggy and stuff. It's fun.
That's so lovely, because I've heard of people doing like email accounts and stuff, but there is something about that grid, isn't there?
Yeah, it's so much easier to flick through. So I send her like little videos saying, because we just tried her with a bottle for the first time, and I just do a little video. I'm just giving you a bottle for the first time, see what you think of it. And it's lovely. It's like watching it back as well. It reminds me, what she's growing so quick as well. 2 weeks has gone really fast.
That idea has just made me literally well up. That's so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think it's a great idea because, you know, like if you lose your phone, you lose photos, don't you?
Yeah.
And sometimes you'll lose your camera, and Instagram will never disappear. It will always be there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a good little way of documenting. I can just scroll through and screenshot stuff when I'm a bit older.
That's really lovely. What made you decide to do hypnobirthing?
It was something that Louise and my brother's girlfriend had done, and... you know, I hadn't really heard of what it really was until then. And it's just becoming this kind of popular thing now. But basically, Rosie had an MP3 that we were listening to every night together, yeah. Positive affirmations, and I found it so relaxing. It would put us to sleep every single night of the week. And then I realised that the more you listen to it, the more it makes sense about your body, you know, is designed for this, and don't fear those surges. Like, if every time it comes, the baby's coming nearer to you. And I think if you fought the other way and you thought it's too painful, I'll just push it away, and you resist that movement, mm-hmm. that feeling, then the baby will take longer to come,
yeah.
and the heart rate will elevate, and it will be a bit more stressed. And the baby's heart rate consistently stayed the same throughout the whole thing. She's really calm, and I think it definitely had an impact. The mind's so powerful.
Yeah.
And it is a bit, you think it's a bit wishy-washy, it's a bit fairy stuff, but it's not. It's just constant reminding yourself that you're ready to do this. You want to meet your baby. You're going to get through it. And even if you combine it with pain relief, it's fine. Like, you can do a bit of both, like a bit of gas and air.
Exactly. And that's the thing, isn't it? I think with hypnobirthing, it prepares you in a sense of it keeps you calm. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. We all know that people have to have emergency cesareans for whatever reason. You don't get a medal for it.
Yeah.
You know, you've just got, you want to get your baby out in the safest way possible. But it's a great calming technique.
Rosie was all night, she was awake doing a little hypnobirthing. I didn't realise she was so far gone. We didn't realise she was 7 centimetres late. We thought she was just like early stages.
Yeah.
When we got to the hospital, the contractions stopped for some reason. And they were like, we'll do a little check. And they said, oh, you're 7 centimetres delayed. Like, go and grab the bag. You're going to have the baby today. And that's because of the hypnobirthing.
Yeah.
She was ready for those feelings, you know, and she breathed through it.
I was 6 centimetres by the time we got to the hospital. And my doctor was literally like, have you been having contractions? I was like, yeah, I'm having one right now.
I know. They were so irregular. They were like every 10 minutes, every 15.
Oh, really?
We didn't know what was going on. So the hospital don't want you to go in straight away, do they? They tell you to wait at home. So she had a bath. I gave her a foot rub and a massage and kept her calm. But then she was like bent over the kitchen counter, like really breathing. I was like, maybe we should go and get you some pain relief.
Yeah.
They thought she was going to be sent home, and then that was it. She came a few hours later.
That moment for you and Rosie, tell me about it. You're seeing Rosie do something completely natural, but it's just, it's like your body takes over. How was that, seeing her go through that?
Her mum, maybe she's because she's experienced, she could kind of feel the pain she was going through, because
right.
I couldn't really connect with that pain. I just felt like I was just super proud of her, and I was really encouraging, and I just kept saying, you can do this. And like I said, the experience was just amazing. I was fascinated. I was like amazed. I couldn't believe how strong she was. And when she's pushing, it was like rocking back and forth, wasn't it? And she's like, it's never going to calm. It's not. And I said, Rosie, it's so close. And the midwife was so good. She was like counting to 10 every time she did a push.
Yeah.
And that kind of helped her with getting the baby's head out. And then, yeah, I suppose I just was amazed. But now, thinking back, I really think, wow, like what she put herself through to bring that baby to me is amazing.
Yeah.
And you do feel an amazing sense of love for them.
Yeah.
Because you'll never experience that. But then the minute she was out, she was on Rosie's chest, and Rosie was smiling and crying and happy. And the pain and the feeling is just like, you forget about it very quickly.
Well, that's why so many people say, you know, if they could remember that, just that bit before all the love rushes through, you probably wouldn't have any other children. But it just goes instantly,
yeah,
as
instantly.
Soon as that baby's in your arms.
And Rosie had some gas and air, a little bit of gas and air, and then she just wasn't coming out, so they gave her a little cut.
Yeah.
And they gave her some local anaesthetic, and then
she was
done
still
the cut.
Walking around literally.
That's the thing, I think everyone says, wow, like Rosie should be resting in bed. But Rosie was literally bowling around the house. We walked to Richmond and was just like back to normal. It's crazy.
Just her goes tummy, to show, doesn't it, how everyone's so different.
Her tummy's just gone, like, you literally can't tell she had a baby. It's mad. It's quite weird, really, because her belly was quite big.
Joe, if you see me 2.5 weeks after delivering this baby, I can promise you, my tummy muscles, I don't even know where they'll be.
It's so difficult. It is soft, though. It is kind of soft.
Yeah,
like she's
okay.
got muscle. But in terms of visually, it's quite flat. And,
yeah.
and, you know, she's got lucky in the sense there's no stretch marks and stuff. But it's all part of it, isn't it? Everyone's different. And
exactly.
You've got to love your body. And I always believe that, you know, you can get fit for exercise and, you know, you can eat well and stuff.
What was it like leaving the hospital?
So leaving the hospital, we put her in a little car seat.
Mm-hmm.
We only drove from Kingston to Richmond, so we were in Kingston Hospital. And it was weird. Like, I could look at her, seeing her in the mirror. I was just checking up on her. I was driving really slow. But again, it's just excitement. I wasn't scared. I wasn't worried. I think because I've heard stories from my brother Nicky about you're going to want to like be up all night and checking her heart rate and making sure she's alive. We've just been really calm. We're just not panicking like that.
I remember the world feeling really differently, though, when I stepped outside the hospital.
Nicky said when he drove home, he kept seeing adults with like babies' faces and thinking, he realised that everyone would want the baby.
Did Nicky get any sleep?
I don't know, it's hallucinating. But he really did say he kept seeing adults thinking, that was a baby once. And he couldn't, it kind of like, it was really fun and interesting for him.
It's crazy to think that little Indy, she's going to grow up and be...
Why did it change for you? Why did the world look different to you when you came out?
I think it felt, maybe it's because, you know, I gave birth in the middle of London. It just felt loud, busy, harsh,
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just wanted to get into our little bubble of a car.
Now you've had your second baby, you're more calm like the second time around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you know, like, if they've got a cold or if they're crying, it can only be a few things. You're not scared and panicking every time.
Yeah, second time around, I was much calmer. Whereas with Buzz, he would cry so much and I never knew what the cry was. And I'd literally be turning to friends, like dads as well as mums, and being like, what does it mean? I don't know what this cry means. I should know. And I felt like such a failure because I didn't know what those cries meant.
People get so worked up about things, don't they? And they put pressure on themselves. But sometimes the baby just wants a cuddle and I think it's okay to just pick them up and give them a cuddle. But we haven't had any kind of real like burst of like crying for hours. She'll cry normally for food or she's cold or she's wet. But other than that, in between, she's quite quiet. You know, you said you were more calm the second time around. Does that mean your second boy is different? Is their personalities any different?
Yes. Well, for the first 6 months, Buddy was really, really calm. Buzz is the showman. He's always up dancing and running around. And for the first 6 months, Buddy was really calm. So I was like, oh, okay, he's just the calm one. But now he is the adventurer. He is the loud one.
Oh,
it's
really?
So funny how their personalities just completely change. It's like he was just observing life and kind of going,
sussing
okay.
it out, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
But he's also like the nurturer. So he loves like cuddling babies and stroking animals and stuff.
Oh, that's lovely.
It's amazing seeing how they grow up. And obviously, we are still really, really early days. Are you getting much sleep?
Yeah, so first few days, she was like waking up every like hour, 90 minutes for milk, like,
right.
And wasn't latching on that great. But now Rosie's got the breastfeeding down. She's waking up probably every like 2.5-3 hours through the night. So she's well chilled in the day, sleeps most of the time. Mm. And obviously in the evening, she can't, because the milk's better, isn't it? Like the milk, the hormones and the different type of milk throughout the night. So she's cluster feeding. In those situations, rather than getting worked up and frustrated and like, why aren't she sleeping? Why are we awake? I'm stressed out. I tell Rosie just to stay calm, enjoy these moments, because in a few weeks' time, you know, the baby won't always need you like that.
Yeah.
So like, this is part of it. And so we are remaining calm. But yesterday was the first time I felt tired. I went into work and did a YouTube workout and I was doing it. And I was like, I'm really like, put up working like 60% here because I was just so tired. But last night she woke up twice.
Right.
So at like 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And what we do is we nap together in the daytime. So yesterday we laid down and we all slept for 2 hours together.
Are you getting up when Rosie gets up in the night?
I'm waking up because obviously sometimes I change the nappy, but because she's breastfeeding. But I really want Rosie to express some milk so that I can take some of the night work off her.
It's just hard, isn't it? Because if you do, she's still got to express.
I know what I mean?
So it's hard, isn't it? Working out how to do it.
Even if you do express, you still have to wake up tonight and express
and
during the night.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't be able to sleep through then.
I never have. I've always done it so that if I know that the baby's having milk, then I will express at the same time.
Oh, really? So she'd be awake anyway?
I'm not an expert. Unless after Rosie gives the morning feed, if you fed the baby in the night, Rosie could express straight after that morning feed, maybe.
Right, yeah. We haven't got into the routine of that yet. But yeah, look, of course, it's not smooth sailing every night. Some days she sleeps more than others. But again, you just have to kind of roll with it, don't you? And just take it on the chin.
Honestly, the amount of times that you're going to feel like, we've got this down, and then it changes. Or, oh my God, this is awful, and then it changes.
Yeah, and then the teething. And
yeah.
She's in a little cot next to us, so we're kind of just picking her up, feeding her, putting her down. And in the morning, I let her have cuddles, so she comes in and sleeps on my chest for a little bit. And
aww.
Yeah, because you sort of think, am I cuddling her too much? Am I leaving her too much? You just don't know. You just have to just see how you feel at the time. And
do what works for you.
Just kind of learn as you go. There's no manual, is there?
I remember getting to a point with Buzz, actually, the first time around, where a friend of mine said, put on Facebook or something, that, you know, it was a year down the line and her baby no longer slept on her. And I was like, Buzz has never slept on me because I've always been so conscious of the fact that I have to put him down. And, you know, it's that, oh, you must put him down to nap because then he'll settle himself and that's much better than him learning to sleep on you. So that afternoon I was like, nope, I'm going to let him nap on me. And it was the best thing ever.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah. Is there any part of it, because Ore Aduba, when he came on the other week, he said how he wishes he would be able to give birth, he could go through that experience. Is there any part of the whole mother side that you wish that you could go through?
Wow, he really wants to. What, he actually wants to carry it for, like, Junior.
I think he was a bit like, I wish I could, but actually, I don't think I'm strong enough.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think women's pain thresholds must be so much, because men like get a toothache or an earache and they're like rolling around on the floor and they're in bed
I'm
all day.
Glad you know this. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas, yeah, I think there's just another level of a pain threshold. But I'd like to feel what it's like to have the baby kick in, because I used to just think it was amazing when she would kick and have hiccups. I was like, what does it feel like having someone inside you having hiccups? Like, is it a weird kind of thing, like a claustrophobic feeling, like, what's that doing in me? Or is it a nice, warm, cuddly feeling?
Yeah.
And Rosie used to love it. I used to play whack-a-mole. So if she kicked, I'd push her down. I'd push her finger.
Yeah.
She always pushed back and it was like a game, yeah, with the baby.
Aww. obviously, for a lot of mums, how you feel about your body does change when you have a baby. You know, you're the body coach. You deal a lot with making people feel better about their bodies and stuff. What advice would you give to mums who maybe don't feel that great about their bodies?
One of the things that really surprises me about pregnant women is the amount of women that contact me saying, can I do your 90-day plan when I'm pregnant? I want to lose this amount of weight. I don't want to gain weight. And it's crazy because when you're, you know, when you're having a baby, you're trying to grow a baby. Yeah. So you shouldn't be thinking about staying lean and burning fat and burning energy, basically, because you're trying to grow something inside you. So I always say to people, you know, don't focus on the weight and just let that time. It's a beautiful thing that your baby's growing inside you, and you really shouldn't be weighing yourself. It's not a healthy relationship. And just eat healthy food and do what you like in terms of exercise, whether it's yoga or bar or Pilates or something. But I wouldn't go smashing like heavy weights if you've never done it before.
Yeah.
If you've been doing it all through the pregnancy, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the baby, again, people are in such a rush to get back in the gym and get their body back to a certain way. And you just have to be very patient and understand that your body's gone through a big change. Everything's moving back in place, and don't want to be too strenuous right away. But it also just takes time. You have to be patient and focus on healthy eating, hydration, doing regular exercise, whether it's at home or in the gym, but don't smash yourself too hard straight away.
I think that's really important, and I think it's really encouraging coming from you.
Build your fitness up gradually, and also just kind of be really proud of yourself that you've carried a baby, you've delivered a baby, it's amazing and it's healthy. And then, you know, focus on your confidence. But again, you shouldn't put pressure on yourself, because some women, like, you literally bounce back, right? And
yeah,
it may not be because they exercise, because they're just genetically, their skin's a certain way and their body and their muscles. And other people, it take longer. But ultimately, you can get really fit and stronger. And the great thing about your body is it can adapt to training. Yeah. It might just take you a year or 6 months or...
Well, and I guess waiting for that motivation, because I hate the idea of punishing a body after it's given you a baby. Like, it's just done the most amazing thing for you. And how are you going to punish it? Whereas I think it is that nurturing it and giving it time and kind of thanking it for what it's done, rather than making it feel like, OK, baby's out, now let's whip you.
Yeah, that's a really great way of thinking about it. You're right, because it is. It's such a big thing to go through. Your body's gone through this massive journey, and to think you can just go in the gym and start doing deadlifts and CrossFit and burpees and stuff. It's like, just find things that are a bit more suitable for you, a bit more low impact, swimming, cycling, and take it slowly. Yeah, definitely slowly build up.
What would you say to dads that might be listening, or partners, as to how to encourage mums if they're feeling a bit low?
Always just telling them they're beautiful, you know, tell them they look lovely, and making them feel confident, and never putting pressure on them. But I always find my main goal every day is just to make Rosie's day a bit simpler. So whether that's making her breakfast or taking the laundry up or giving her dinner, just making things a bit simpler and easier for her so she's stress-free, because then she can focus on herself and, you know, having some time off. But at the moment, because she's breastfeeding, I can't really give her much time. She has to be with the baby.
Yeah.
That's why I'm looking forward to when I can take her out for a few hours and have a bit of daddy time with me and the baby.
Have you had any time just you two yet?
Well, if Rosie's had a rough night's sleep, I bring the baby downstairs for a few hours and then Rosie can sleep. So that's like daddy time, but I haven't taken out the house on my own yet.
Has there been anything that's been really surprising so far? Any part of fatherhood that's made you go, whoa?
Probably the amount of nappies we change. Like, it's constant. Like, you hear it go, don't you? Just hear the fart and it's all wet and you know that's a nappy changer. So I'm amazed at how many nappies I've got to change. So everyone was saying to me, it's going to be so hard, you're going to need a cleaner, you should get a night nurse. So I had all these things in my head, like, Rosie, your mum's going to have to come and stay the first few nights and my mum's going to come and clean the house, or let's get a cleaner to come every day. But I'm surprised at how it hasn't been like that. It hasn't been as stressful as I thought. And I don't want anybody around. Like, we're working together, we're a team. You know, we have a cleaner that comes on a Monday to help clean the house once. But other than that, it's the same thing. I cook, I do the recipes, I clean, we eat together. 3 days after she was born, we went for a dinner in Richmond. And I sat with her on my in the thing, because we time it so that she's asleep.
Yeah.
So we give her a big feed. We walked to Richmond, sat there having dinner, and I had a burger and chips, and literally she was right there. And I was
a bit of ketchup on her head.
So yeah, nothing's really changed that dramatically. You know?
Yeah.
I can't say it's that. I don't want to be like, oh, it's really easy, because the nights are tiring, but it's not that. It's not like really, really scary and hard and as like hell on earth as some people describe it.
Yeah. I guess it does depend on the baby.
What makes it hell then is the crying. Is that what you mean? Because she's calm.
Yeah,
she cried all day, every day, of course, I'd be talking very differently, but she doesn't do that all day.
So Buddy was a completely different story. Buddy would wake up once in the night and that was it, from the start, from the get-go. Whereas Buzz would wake up and be up for 2 hours. By the time I'd fed him, changed him, and got him to go back to sleep, it literally took 2 hours because he was just not feeding properly, like the latch was bad and stuff. He was getting loads of milk, though. It just wasn't efficient.
Right.
And then he'd sleep for like an hour and then be up and we'd have to do that again for 2 hours. So literally, I guess, in the morning, it would be, but it was so weird because when people came over, he'd be absolutely a delight and really calm, and that tiredness and not getting that feed right.
Oh, so it's not nice. So it was basically the hunger thing was making him cry because he felt hungry still. And
no, I can't even say that because he was getting so much milk, and he was putting on weight so quickly.
Really? That's the thing, you just don't know. Do you?
You don't.
They may just be super cuddly, sort of needy babies, and the next one could be completely different.
Yeah.
So,
you just enjoy Indy.
Yeah, I'm enjoying her while she's calm.
And did you have loads of visitors come over straight away?
We arrived home from the hospital the day after, and we had like a couple of waves of people come through, and
yeah.
I was almost like buzzing. I was on adrenaline, and then after a week of that, I thought, oh, you know what, we need a break. So we sort of banned people for a few days, and now we've got a few more coming around this week.
That's nice. I feel like people don't realise they can do that. You just kind of put a stop on visitors for a little while.
Because they want, my mum, like, she loves to see her all the time, so she would come around every day if she could. But obviously I said, look, mum, can we just wait a few days? And they understand, and then she can come around at the weekend. So they just want to see her when she's young, don't they? She's little, and everyone wants to cuddle her and see her when she's growing up.
I'll tell you, second baby, hardly any visitors.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because so Nikki's got Oscar, who's two, and now Milo, who's brand new, and it is. He's saying, like, it's a different ball game.
Yeah.
It will be. Of course it will, like, because you've got one that's awake and you've had a rough night's sleep. You can't have a nap during the day. You've got this one running around like a lunatic, so it's a team effort.
Yeah.
And Nikki's had to sort of do the single dad, take Oscar out for the day and let Louisa have some time. But I'm fully aware that having two is going to be more of a challenge than just the one.
I'll wait till you get to four.
I know. Then I might need some help.
You might say, yes, is that a cleaner? okay, so we finished every episode with you finishing three sentences for me.
Okay.
Being a dad means?
Being a dad means my life's completely changed in the fact that I'm so content and peaceful, and I feel like I've achieved what I'm supposed to do, and anything else is just a bonus.
Oh. Since becoming a dad, I
have fallen in love a lot more with Rosie and feel like we're going to have an amazing life together.
Oh, I'm happy when?
I'm happiest when Indy's on my chest in the carrier, like skin to skin when I'm walking around the house.
Well, good luck with all the promo for the new book. The new book is called Joe's 30-Minute Meals.
Thank you so much.
I hope it all goes well. I hope it doesn't, like, tear you away too much.
No, I'm not doing a massive book tour with this one. I think when I did the first Lean 15 ones, I was all over the country, but I'm doing a few events in London, that's it.
I mean, I think people understand. You've got a newborn.
I'm enjoying the home time, but I've loved coming on your show. I really enjoyed it, and so thank you so much for having me as a guest.
Thank you. Thank you for being so honest, open, and just chatting.
Thank you, and good luck with your new baby.
Thank you. Good luck with Indy.